Well, good.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you introducing or am I?
Well, I think your name is next
Dave,
to the
right?
thing.
So,
it says, say Dave.
So just a word of like transparency. Last week, Robin was sick, so I did the whole thing. So last night, we said, okay, what part am I doing? What part are you doing? So anyway, we're the Laneys. Today, I can actually say we're the Laneys. Last week, I said it, and I was solo. So, but Robin brings so much structure, so I'm so thankful for her. Oh, my goodness. So we are the Laneys. We've been members of City Lock, like Gavin said, for about 9 years. And we are so thankful to be back here with you guys. I cannot tell you how fun and how joyful and how honoring it is to be on this stage again.
Yeah.
This, I mean,
we miss you.
Oh, my gosh.
so much.
And I told the story a couple times. I'm sorry, I'm going to tell it one more time.
Okay.
But when I came home, we came home last Monday night, the 26th, wake up Tuesday morning, and we're in our own home, right? And I'm thinking, it should feel good to be home. But my heart wasn't feeling that, you know? And I was like, we're trying to make a home in Jamaica, and we're trying to come back to our home here, mm-hmm. and it just didn't. Neither place feels like home, mm-hmm. you know. And so, deep philosophical me, I'm saying, oh, so we're sojourning now. We're on that uncomfortable path in the middle where there is no home, you know, where all of us I think should be. And God's really checking me on it. He's like, yeah, don't get comfortable anywhere, man. Hot showers are nice. Don't get comfortable. And I do want to say one other thing. We've been back for 2 weeks. I went to a Nebraska game a couple weeks ago, saw them beat Indiana, saw Iowa lose. Went to a wedding Friday night, so I missed most of the game, but I watched part of it on a stream phone at the wedding. Nebraska won. And what happened yesterday? You guys know what happened yesterday? Iowa lost again. By golly. So I think maybe, and I apologize to any Iowa fans in the room, but I think maybe I'll just come back every weekend and then we'll see how that goes, you know. So anyway. So just kind of want to introduce you to our family real quick. We do have an amazing family here. Real quick, that in the middle back next to me is Christian and Laura. They live in Seattle, Washington. Love them to death. Aaron's right next to Christian there in the middle. Aaron's in Bosnia right now serving an internship. Heidi is next to Aaron in the back there. And Heidi actually grew up in the home that we serve at now. A lot of you know that or met her. But she's in Muncie, Indiana, pursuing a master's degree at Ball State. Amazing story there. Next to Heidi is Erica. And then down below from Eric is Nick. And Nick's playing on drums this morning.
Yay!
So, massive blessing for me today. I get to worship on the stage. I get to play with my son. I get to be here with my church family. Man, I'm going to be all kinds of emotional this morning, so sorry. But Nick and Erica also live in Bellevue, 5 minutes from us. And they've also blessed us with 3 amazing granddaughters. So the whole time we're in Jamaica, I'm like, I got to see my grandkids. And man, have we spent some quality time with them this past couple of weeks. And then, of course, in the middle there is Robin. She's the centerpiece of our family, right? She's the stone that holds us all together. So we're blessed. We're blessed to have an amazing family, and we're so thankful for them and for you guys. So so again, we left about 4 months ago, as Gavin said, to serve as resident missionaries at the City of Refuge Children's Home in Content Gap, Jamaica. We're excited about the future vision for the home, about sharing Jesus with the children and loving the staff well. But we're finding that long-term mission is more than just evangelism and fun and games. Like when we would lead teams from City Light all those years ago, there was a lot of fun and games involved, but that was short-term. This is long-term, and it's way different, right? So it turns out it's the kingdom life there is a little like our family Christmas experiences, right? So Robin had this, has always had this great Norman Rockwell suburban Americana type family thing, you know, when it comes to decorating our Christmas trees. You know, the kids would be there loving each other, hugging each other, hot chocolate, the fire, there'd be Christmas music, and there would be like, you know, a Christmas movie maybe playing in the background, and the kids would be hanging ornaments with care and love and all that stuff. And that never happened.
Never happened.
Anyone who knows what I'm talking about, and you all know what I'm talking about, that never happens. The jokes immediately go to farting or to poop or whatever, and then they start wrestling, and then I start wrestling with them, and then Robin's mad, and everything's kind of ruined. And then we realize at the end, it's like, it's family, you know? We're broken, yeah. We're messed up, but you know what? That's what it is. So we have a vision of what things might look like, mm-hmm. you know, like for us, when we went on this long-term mission, we had a vision, and we had thoughts of what it might look like. But it never looks that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, Dave talked about where my name is. He said,
sorry.
We might do that several times. So the point is, so there's a mission, right? God has he's on a mission to redeem all of creation. And we have an idea sometimes of what that might look like, but but sometimes and a lot of times it ends up looking totally different than what we thought. And can you go back to that slide? We missed the verse. So Matthew 24:14 says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So what are we doing here, right? What are we doing? What is our part in it? What is God doing? And he talks about this gospel of the kingdom. And you know, a lot of times we talk about the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the hope of salvation with people, evangelism, right? Sharing what Jesus has done and the hope of eternity with him. And that's amazing. But he talks about this gospel of the kingdom. What is that? When he came, he said, the gospel is here. The gospel is near. So we live in this gospel of the kingdom. And so we want to talk a little bit about that today and share what is the gospel? What is the kingdom of God? What is the gospel of the kingdom? And part of it is just recognizing what it looks like in real life, right? For all of us. And so we're going to share a little bit about what it looks like in our context and what we've recognized and learned since we've been gone for the last 4 months. And so the first one is that life in the kingdom is, or the kingdom of God is known and it's unexpected. And the prophets of the Old Testament talked about this promise to come, right? This promise that was coming, and he was going to make all things new and restore all things to original condition of creation. And the people looked forward to this. They were looking forward to this, and they looked forward to this mighty warrior king who would come in and slay their oppressors and give them complete freedom and peace in this life. And then Jesus was born in the lowliest state, not what they expected or where they expected. This tiny human, humble person born, and they didn't expect that that baby's birth would really change all of history, right, from that point on. And so in Mark's account, when that baby is all grown up, Mark records Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So he's here, and he's this mighty king, and he is a faithful ruler, and he is a righteous citizen. But who could have imagined that that's how it would play out? And the people knew God's promises, and they looked forward to the fulfillment of them, but it wasn't anything like they expected it to be. And in a similar way, we've experienced that. We had the high hopes. We left here with great vision of what could be at the home. And even for the summer, we had all of this summer stuff planned out. We had this huge vision of what we could do with the children over the summer, and we were met with some unexpected realities and in our short time there. And so we have a picture of the City of Refuge, I think. And I don't know if I was talking about this or you. Oh, see, I'm unsure. So we started taking short-term trips there. We've been engaged there since 2011, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the story. And we've been taking short-term trips there since 2016. And during those short-term trips, God started to give me a real vision as I sat there and I looked over the property and I heard the children playing and laughing. I started to give this vision of what it could be. What could the children experience? What could the home be like? And so we did that for about 5 years. And Dave took a little while to grab onto that vision, but when he did, we got an opportunity to go and we got asked to come. And so we went with these huge expectations, but then we realized that our days were going to look different than what we had envisioned.
So the reality of it for us was it looks like way different than we thought. You know, we thought it was going to be a lot of activities with the kids, like Robin said, and we knew we'd be used wherever God could use us there in whatever way. But we had no idea. I mean, I'm doing some IT work. That's kind of my background. So when I say IT work, I mean, I'm trying to keep the internet running there, right. The internet connection on this mountain, you know, working so that we can FaceTime with our grandkids, right? Selfishly. But then I've also done some plumbing. I've done a little bit of plumbing at my house back in the day. I'm not a good plumber. And almost every time, whatever I plumb leaks. Every time.
But at least they're all outside.
But the beauty of this place is all the piping and all the plumbing is outside and above ground. So if it leaks a little bit, hey, it's okay, right? Water management. Man, I have learned more about water management than I have ever could have imagined. You see me in that middle photo there. I'm watching a guy kind of work on that pump down there. But that black tank, and I think we might have another picture of the tanks. I'm not sure. But that black tank is our lifeline. That's a 10,000-gallon water tank that feeds our house. And it also feeds the lady who does the laundry. So if she runs 10 loads of laundry, that tank pretty much is empty. Almost. I mean, not quite, but it gets kind of light there. So, but we have so much issue with water in this place because we're on the top of a mountain and we just don't get water when we're supposed to get water from the Water Commission. Always. And then when we're supposed to get it every Wednesday, and what might happen is we lose power a lot. So what might happen on a Wednesday is we're getting water coming in, it feeds into a pipe at the bottom of the property, hits this tank, and we pump it up, and then the power goes out. So guess what's not working? The pump. So we're filling the tank for nothing. So we've had so many experiences like that, and it's just, it's hard to work around that, but we're getting there. We have projects around that. So that's just another thing. I've never known or learned so much about water in my life. Summer activities, like Robin mentioned, we had all these plans. We shipped stuff to on a container that didn't arrive in time. And when it did arrive, summer was over. Kids were in school. Like, so you see the bottom picture there on the left?
That's
our stuff coming up the mountain.
In the rain.
In the rain on an open truck with a part of a tarp on it. And when it got up there, all those boxes were soaking wet. And I would tell the pillow story, but it's too long, so
no,
I won't tell the pillow story.
No,
but there were wet pillows coming off the back of this truck, and there were all of I just so many. And one of the hardest things I think that we faced that we weren't really expecting is conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. We knew that the kids would be tough. We knew that it would be hard being at the home. I mean, and it is. I mean, for any of us, I don't care if I was 20 years old or 50 years old, and I'm 59. But the conflict resolution part, I think, kind of caught us by surprise because there's so much conflict there, and it's exhausting. If you have two or three kids and you deal with that conflict on a daily basis or a weekly basis or whatever, it's hard. But, you know, multiply that by 50 kids, 55 kids, and it gets really hard. And I've also fed chickens. We raise chickens on the property, right? Yeah. There's no pictures of the chickens, but we raise chickens for food for the kids, and I'm feeding chickens, man. I'm like, who knew, right? There's all kinds of property projects that we're kind of involved with, or, you know, we've been there 4 months, so we've been able to put our eyes on the property and work with the church that we're in partnership with in Florida that owns the home to kind of identify some projects that need to be, you know, taken care of. And there, you see all the buildings earlier, you saw the buildings on the property. It's like your own home. There's always something to do. And then multiply that by 100, I think, and there's always projects. Packing school lunches, that's a morning thing now. When school started a month ago, Robin decided to get up every morning at 4:30 and fry bologna for sandwiches. I'm like, okay. And make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know. And so I kind of roll out of bed shortly after her and help a little bit with that. But that's a reality that we didn't expect, you know. And menu and nutrition, Robin's been like a champion for these kids because she's trying to upgrade their menu, you know. And there's just, we're just trying to set that kingdom standard, you know, for what the menu and the nutrition should look like for the kids. There's a library there. Full of books, but it was also full of dust and dirt and spiders and bugs. Bugs, man. So Robin jumped in and cleaned the library up, and the kids love it. You know, the kids are now able to, you know, go in there and use the library for what it was created for. She helps with homework. I'm not really good at homework. Robin homeschooled our kids, you know, all those years. I was like the principal who would come in at the end and clean up, so I didn't do a whole lot of homework, you know. So, and just whatever else comes up, you know. So like I said, even though, you know, we went with these great expectations, these are just some of the realities that we're facing, you know, on a daily basis. And people have asked us, what does it look like when you plan your day? And like, well, we plan to make sandwiches because that's at 4:30 in the morning.
That
not much can
done.
Happen at that time in the morning. But after that, it's like, whatever. Any one of these things might come up, you know, and whatever else might come up. So anyway, even though we went with, like I said, with those great expectations, and we had great plans for the summer, we had all kinds of activities planned with the stuff on the back of that truck. It didn't come up, but we still improvised, and God still used us in a way that was pretty cool. And we saw lots of cool stuff. You know, the kids on the left there, we had this big parachute that we took on a trip years ago, and we would play with that. And then we would play sports games with the older kids, and we had birthday celebrations. You know, the kids in the middle, we took some little boys and got a pizza from their version of Costco, brought it up and warmed it up and gave them a pizza and cookie party one night for their birthdays. And the picture in the middle also is the kids in the library, you know, and they're enjoying the ability to actually use that library now, you know. So the summer was crazy, and we had to constantly adjust because we realized that, like, there's two of us and there's 55 of them, and those numbers don't add up really well. So,
right.
So we kind of had to adjust on the fly a lot of times. But God was good, and he still gave us a lot of victory and a lot of moments in there. We were able to take trips. We took kids to the zoo. We took them to the beach in Ocho Rios, which selfishly was an amazing trip, you know. We live on an island. Why would we not take advantage of that, right? And then the kids just playing and, you know, enjoying themselves on the playground there that was donated from a generous donor here at City Light sponsored that playground. So
yeah, and I want to say too, all of these things, our summer trips, we took six summer trips, and they were all paid for by people here at City Light. And so those were the highlights for the kids of the summer, were those trips. And so we just say thank you. That's amazing that we were able to give them so much joy. So.
And real quick, there was a little boy at one of the beach trips, and he said, they call me Uncle Dave, and they call Robin Miss Robin. And he was standing next to me, and we'd been at the beach for a while, and he has goggles on. He goes, Uncle Dave, I want to go to the beach. And I said, you're at the beach. He goes, every day. me too, man, you know? But that's the mindset, you know? It's like we're so blessed to be able to be with these kids in these situations, you know? So.
And in all of these things, what we're finding is, even though it's not what it's expected, it's the work that God has given us to do. And so in every one of those things, even the things that seem mundane or their interruption for the day, those are the days especially when I think God can use us to really show his love to others and to give an opportunity for a conversation. And so it seems like, well, we meant to do ministry, but now we do all those other things, but it's not. Like, there's this holistic, our ministry at City of Refuge is very holistic. It's all of it. And I think that's what he calls all of us to, right? I was thinking this morning about how many distractions we have during the day, right? So when we're here, we have distractions in our day that keep us from living out our purpose fully. We have work and family and cleaning and all of these things, and we see those things as, well, that's not really the ministry work. That's all the stuff we have to do. And then we have these little times for ministry. But what we're learning is our time at City of Refuge, that is, it is our life. It is our whole life when we get up in the morning. That's our purpose, is to be there and be there for those children. And it's easy there because what else are we going to do? You know, if we don't come out of our house all day, people start to wonder, what are you doing in there? And so we need to be out and about and doing, but that is our work. But I believe that that's what he wants our mindset to be when we're here on this side, you know, is that our kingdom work is first. The kingdom of God is first. And all the other things are opportunities to share his love with them and the gospel of the kingdom. It's kingdom life. Right? It's not just devotions and evangelism and these separate compartments. It's all together. It's kingdom life. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is near. So the kingdom life or the kingdom of God is also sacrifice and joy. And for us, there's been great sacrifice. You know, we talked about hot water. That's not a great sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice. It's pretty nice. But leaving our family and our friends and our church, leaving the comfort of what we know, what we're comfortable in, and going to a place where we're not comfortable, we'll never be Jamaican. As much as we love them, and I think they love us back, we'll never be one of them. And so that's a sacrifice of being in community in the way that we know it, in the way that we know it. God is providing a new kind of community, a different look. But it's an adjustment period, and so it is a sacrifice. And Romans 12:1, Paul talks about, that tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, and one that's holy and acceptable to God. And that's our spiritual worship. And so living out that literal translation of that last part is, this is your reasonable service. So when Gavin says, this is what normal Christianity looks like, that's really true. It's reasonable service to God. And so this, for us, is our pouring our lives out as a living sacrifice. But we're all called to that exactly where we are, wherever God has us. So.
So one of the things that we have realized very, very well there is that we all know this, we have to die to ourselves daily, right? And sometimes hourly, and sometimes by the minute, right?
Minutely. Is that a word?
Minutely.
Minutely.
Bigly, minutely. So, we, you know, for us, dying to ourselves daily, you know, man, in the middle of chaos and confusion and conflict, we don't do that very well. I'm definitely, God has checked me so many times. You know, one example, right? Just responding out of flesh, right? So, there's a road right outside of our front door, and it's not a road, it's a driveway, kind of a gravel driveway that leads down the mountain. And there's boys that go out on that road, and they'll take scooters out there. I found them on these big boys on a little tricycle out there one day. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You know, and they're riding down this hill on it. I'm like, what is going on? You know, so they're not supposed to be out there, so I'll bring them back, all right? And this particular group of boys, there were about five or six of them, I said, let's go pick up some trash if you're that bored, right? So I got a trash bag. We went behind their house. We picked up trash for like 30 minutes, you know, and it was good. We were joking. We were laughing. I had my mind about me. I wasn't out of control. It was just, I was trying to just like, yeah, let's just have this a learning lesson, right? So we finished that up. They take care of the trash. I go back to our house. An hour later, maybe, Robin calls me and says, hey, there's boys back on the road again. A whole new group, right? Five or six. And these are older boys. So I go down there again. And this time I'm getting a little angry because it's Sunday and I want to just kind of be selfish on Sunday afternoon. I get a little angry and I walk out in the road and all of a sudden I see boys scatter, you know. A couple of boys run down behind a building and I wasn't even yelling at this point. And I get there and I said, come on, come on, come on. So I grab one of the guys and then one of the kids runs down the hill. And I didn't see where he went, but apparently he went up another hill over here, right? So as I'm talking to one of these young men, he keeps looking over my shoulder up to the left. And I kind of glance back there and here's a young boy in a bright yellow shirt. Like, and he's standing in this tall grass that's about up to here on him, but he's peeking over the grass. Like, and I'm like, you're in a yellow shirt, man. Get down here. I mean, not only can I see you, but everybody on the hill can see you, you know? So I get him down there, and at this point, I'm kind of starting to get angry. And I get him down to their house. Long story short, I get the young man that I was initially talking to down in front of his house, and I'm asking him, who else was down there with you? Tell me the truth, blah, blah, blah. He wouldn't tell me. I started losing my mind. I literally lost my religion right there. I started yelling so loud that everybody on the property could hear me. And I wasn't even focused on it. I was just so angry. And I think it was just a lot of stuff that piled up. And I look around and there's kids watching, a lot of kids watching, and there's a couple of caregivers watching. And I was yelling. I lost my voice. I was yelling so loud. And that morning, just as a frame of reference, that morning, Robin and I, we lead the church service, right? And I preach. Lord knows that's not my wheelhouse, but I get to preach. And I'm preaching to these kids on Jesus being the light. And one of my main points for them that morning was, be a light on this mountain. Let people who look up see your light shining off this mountain. Not hearing my voice, see your light. You know, so I'm totally in conflict with what I was talking about that morning. I got to the point where I just had to walk back to our house. And I told the young man, I said, when you're ready to come talk to me, come talk to me. An hour later, he comes, talks to me. He knocks on the door and says, hey, it was so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm sorry, Uncle Dave. And I apologized to him. And I just tried to, and you try to have a teaching moment, you know, and I was like, I wasn't yelling at you. I wasn't angry at you. I was angry at the situation. I'm sorry. So I have to apologize to him. And I literally had a message planned for the next week to apologize to all the kids in church. But then we didn't get to do church because the power went out. So rainstorm, Hurricane Ian, all that stuff. So point being is that, you know, it's so easy to lose your mind in those situations when you're not equipped. And we think we're equipped, right? And then the next morning, that Monday morning, God starts checking me and he says, hey, are you ready to stop trying to do this on your own? Because you can't. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. You're right. I'm not equipped for this. I had healthy kids that we raised. God, praise God, you know. We came from a background that was a little rough in our growing up. But so we thought we were equipped, but we weren't. We weren't equipped for this. And I keep trying to do it on my own, and I can't do it on my own. I have to lean into him. He has to lead this thing, you know, because it's not us. We can't do it, you know. So we wonder, it's like, is it worth it? When these things happen, and that Monday and Tuesday morning, I was so willing and ready to check out and say, I cannot do this, God, even if you're leading me, you know, because there's so much conflict and there's so much chaos daily, you know. It's just like, what in the world are we doing? Are we making, there's caregivers that have been there for 20 plus years. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you be doing this for 20 years? And they're exhausted. These caregivers are exhausted and there aren't enough of them, you know?
They were cheering when he was yelling at the children.
Yeah, secretly they were cheering. They were cheering. I know they were. And they came and told me later on, you know, but I, you know, I thought that's not the example we want to set for these kids,
right.
You know? So, but we have experienced joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
the hard thing. We've seen victories and we have experienced joy. When a little boy, a little five-year-old boy comes running up to you and hugs you and says, Uncle Dave, and just hugs me for no reason, even though I'm a yeller, that's good. That's good. That's joy. And I'm drawn to these little guys for sure, you know. There's a great example. So the little boys have a house. You can see where that guy on the bottom right is in his bed. You can kind of see him in there. Laying on his pillow there. But that's the view. When you walk past the boy's house, that's kind of the view into their house. There's a covered porch with a grate on the front of it, or like a steel cage type thing on the front of it. But that's what you see. So I walk by that house a lot, and the little boys always, they see my Apple Watch, and they're like, Uncle Dave, ask Siri whatever, right? So they start asking me, like, when is so-and-so's birthday? When is one of these little boys' birthday? And I'm like, well, Siri doesn't quite know that, you know. So what I did was I secretly went back to our house, found all their birthdays, put them in my contact list on my phone, and then when I walk by there, they say, Uncle Dave, when is his birthday? And they ask Siri, you know, they ask Siri. Their little Jamaican accents don't really work to Siri real well, but I ask them, and it just blows their mind, you know. And to see these little boys is like, they're not in a mess at that moment. They're just joyful, you know, and that hits my heart, you know. And that picture of Jemani, or the little guy on the bottom right, he's a young man, he's 16 years old, he's got cerebral palsy, he's functional motor skill wise, but he's nonverbal. And I don't know if he's ever had a pillow. He may have had one, we don't know, but they said he didn't. We got the, you know, the pillow, the truck from the truck that I was telling about earlier with all the pillows that came up. We happened to get one for him, and I walked by there that night after I gave him that pillow, and he had the biggest smile on his face, and
pure joy,
you know, and it's simple little things. And that's what we have to, we can lose ourselves in the hard stuff, but when you see those moments and you have to be intentional looking for the joyful moments, man, they're there. I'm telling you, they are there. That little boy that I mentioned about the beach, you know, when he said, I want to be at the beach every day, the Sunday afternoon that we were leaving to come home, we were driving down that same road where I lost my mind on the boys, and this little guy's running alongside the car beside us for probably what he equated to a couple of blocks, you know, and he had the biggest smile on his face, and he's legally blind, I think, so I was really worried that he might not be able to see where he was going, or he's going to fall off the hill or something, but it was joy. It was joy on his face, and I don't know if he was joyful because we were leaving, or I'm not sure what it was, but it was joy, and I took that, so, it, you know, as hard as it is, we see joy, we see victory, we see wins, you know.
Yeah. So known and unexpected sacrifice and joy. And kingdom of God is also now and not yet. And that's something that we hang on to. We need to be reminded. We need to remind ourselves, remind our soul about this part, because, you know, this world is a hard place and we live in a really hard place. Like, life is just hard. The situations are hard at the home, the children's situation, the staff situation. Those situations are hard, but also their life is just hard. And our life is harder. Our life is a little easier because we have resources that may not be available to others. And so we're thankful for that. But at the same time, you just feel the weight of how hard just daily life is. But we cling to that hope that we have in Jesus, one that is not always going to be like this, right? That's the biggest hope we have. He's already redeemed the kingdom through his death and his resurrection. He's overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world. He's overcome the flesh. He's overcome the devil. So those things that we struggle with, he's already overcome them. And so we have to put our hope in him for ourselves also. And the truth is that he's sovereign king over all of creation. And he empowers us to keep fighting back the darkness for his glory. And so it's hard to remember that, right? That's part of that dying to self, because the self gets all absorbed in itself and forgets the power of God. And so some days things get really tough on that mountain, and there seems to be no hope. How is this ever going to change? What's ever going to make a difference? We have to keep remembering that Jesus has already done the work. And he is going to return as that mighty warrior king, that triumphant warrior. And he does have a plan, and he has a purpose for all of creation and for the children at the City of Refuge.
Yeah, so just as Robin was saying, just I want to tag onto that. It's the hardest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I'd done hard stuff in my life, but man, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's easy to lose track of what God's doing in those moments and when you see the wins and the victories. But there are victories, and that's the beauty of it. We had this big vision. We may not ever see it come to fruition in our time here on earth. Probably won't at the home. I mean, hopefully we see some real victory, but we're starting to improve nutrition. We're starting to secure our water supply. We have some plans in place to kind of do that. Somebody, again, from City Light donors, donated enough money for us to put new gutters on the buildings to catch water, which is a huge thing.
Yay.
You know, and this water is going into these tanks now, and we still have more project work along that way. But we're catching water, and it's not running down the mountain, you know, away from us, right? Providing healing, you know, for the hurting kids, you know, just loving on these kids. I mean, what do kids want? They just want someone to love them, you know, and to see them, you know. One of the coolest things for me is I've been able to kind of work with some of the young boys there and start a worship band. So super cool for me, because I thrive on that, man. And I got a couple young guys that I'm really, really tight with, and we get to lead the worship service. And now, as of about a month ago, we're leading the entire church service on Sunday mornings. So we kind of have a captive audience, you know? And we don't know what we're doing, but we're figuring it out, you know? But the worship thing is so cool because these guys, when we first started, they never rehearsed. They just showed up and played on Sundays. And now we rehearse, and it's actually kind of good. And I'm thinking, the caregivers tell me, it's like, Uncle Dave, the music is so nice. I'm like, I like it. I like it too, you know. So that, and we get to lead the church service. We're going to start a children's service. Again, more generous donors from City Light. A City Group donated money for a children's curriculum that we're going to start using, you know, for kids, yay, your little kids, you know. Wednesday night youth service, we're going to start that. You know, our relationships with the kids are growing, even though somebody told me the other night, they said, a guy, and this was a guy that said, my parents left me when I was 9 years old. He said, they gave me up when I was 9. He said, the kids can tell the difference between somebody who's yelling at them out of anger and someone who's yelling at them out of love, you know. So I pray that they see, when we do lose our mind, that they see us coming at them out of love, you know, because we care. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there. If I didn't care, we wouldn't be there. You know? But they don't know that, right? So, right. And then when we were leaving Sunday, there were some sweet goodbyes on our front porch. And we'd had a couple of hard weeks. We'd had a couple of really hard weeks, probably some of it self-inflicted. But the kids were on the front porch telling us goodbye, and it's raining. Hurricane Ian is storming, you know, and we kind of had a break, and we decided to get off that mountain quickly. And one of the young man that I was yelling at came up to me. He goes, Uncle Dave, we're going to miss you. So I'm like, man, okay, God, you know. And I think that was just God's sweet way of saying, don't forget, you got to come back, you know. So, yeah. <you know.
laughs> So we are so thankful for the years that we have gone to City of Refuge on short-term mission. I think everyone should go on a short-term mission trip somewhere. If nothing else, just to expose yourself to a different world, a different culture, a different people, a different way of living. And so we're so thankful of that and sharing the good news of salvation. Obviously, like we are changed, we are transformed, that we have to share that good news. And we look forward to hosting City Light teams doing those very things at our location. And when you come and you are up top as a team, the kids are amazing. Like they get along, they have fun. You'll be a whole team with them. You'll have a blast. And so we look forward to sharing that with some of you next summer. When we put our yes on the table and we start following Christ, there's a desire to share this life-changing message. Don't ever stop doing that. We have to share that because that's our experience. But salvation is only part of that good news. And in Luke 8:1, we see Jesus traveling around. We've been in Luke, right, for a long time. We see him traveling around from village to village, sharing the gospel of the kingdom. And that's this good news that the kingdom of God is actually here now. It's not fully yet, right? Same for us, same for you. It's here, but it's not full yet. And it has the power to transform our life experience here on earth. And Jesus had this really holistic approach to ministry. He went around and he shared with words. He invited people into the kingdom. He healed their sicknesses. He took away their demons or drove their demons out. He demonstrated his love. He provided for the poor. He had compassion on all those who are harassed and helpless. People are not only harassed and helpless in Jamaica. They're harassed and helpless everywhere, right? And so he frees from all oppression. And so sharing the gospel of the kingdom means actually living out the commands of Christ with your whole being, physically, emotionally, spiritually, living out his example so that people can experience the wholeness of who he is. And so we're also thankful now for long-term work. It showed us a whole different picture of our kids in Jamaica. And allows us to be with the children every single day and have influence. We're doing the work that we believe he's prepared for us to do. We feel under-equipped, but he's equipping us, I think. We're begging for that. And he's doing a work in us so that we can show more and more of who he is to the kids that we minister to. And so we pray that someday we'll all live together in this really big, big house with warm water and no bugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So now that we're done with our introduction, we want to wait. We went long. I'm sorry we went long, but we could talk for hours. So thank you. Okay. Thank you, City Light. You guys are amazing. We look out here and we see the faces and the people that pray and support us. And It's humbling and it's honoring. We love you guys.
And I want to say, hold on. I also want to say City Light Kids. Mm. I know you're in the room. Mm. Raise your hand if you're a City Light Kid. Mm. City Light Kids had Summer of Service this year, and so many of you were also part of that Summer of Service, but they let the little children lead us in that, and they provided above and beyond what we ever imagined that we could. And so with that money, we've been able to provide special meals, shoes, Crocs. They call them slippers, but they're like flip-flops or Crocs for everybody. And towels. We're waiting to get towels. And we had special celebrations. So thank you, City Light Kids, and thank you all who joined in that.
And that's a sunset we see every night. That's from our deck.
Isn't that amazing?
We see that sunset every night. And God reminds us every night that, hey, I got you. I'm going to paint this scene for you every night. And tomorrow you're going to have new mercies and you're going to have new breath. And it's going to be hard, but get after it. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. You done?